You could turn to Luke chapter 14. We'll start back with meditation verse where Mr. Rowe read Revelation 22:17. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Here in the last verses of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible is an invitation. God's nature is always to invite. The Lord Jesus gave, two great invitation parables in the New Testament. The Great Supper in Luke 14 for the king's son, and the marriage feast in Matthew 22. In the context here, the revelation is closing. Its great prophecies are sealed. The earth's judgment finished. The great white throne judgment for sinners and Christ's bema seat for the believers are over, which are two separate and distinct judgments. We see the eternal city, the New Jerusalem, has come. Following this wonderful preview, invitations can be sent out. God makes heaven attractive, the new paradise, and the tree of life revealed. Chapter 21 here in Revelation described a city so beautiful that it exceeds our ability to comprehend and really appreciate. It is that eternal city. Here in chapter 22, he has described those who will be excluded from the city. Verse 15 says, "Dogs, sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, and all liars." Dogs here, seemingly incongruous, unclean animal with vile appetites. Spiritually, simply, they are those who have no appetite for God. Entrance into this city is by invitation only. You can't stumble accidentally into it someday. The invitation must be accepted intelligently with the mind, emotionally with the heart, and volitionally with the will. The invitation has to be accepted, meaning that some emotional or mythical or nebulous thing doesn't just happen to you. We don't merely nod to God or give our mental agreement to His existence and the existence of this city. But we must also give agreement with our hearts. We must confess our sinful, lost condition before God. To confess is simply to agree with. The gospel is repentance plus believing faith. We know the Romans road. We understand that all are sinners. God is holy, and a wage has been earned. We deserve what we earned. There's a penalty, death, eternal separation from God for all eternity. But that gift, that undeserved substitute, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He has taken our place. The simple ABCs, if you will, of acceptance is to agree and to believe and to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Here this morning, my title would just simply be the ministering servant. Let's look at one of the invitation parables as you turn to Luke chapter 14. We'll read starting in verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That's my favorite. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know, there are people in this world with excuses, external problems, or there's those that are enlisted to serve Christ by ministering as acceptable servants. You know, the focus here of this parable could be on salvation or sanctification, which will primarily where we're focused today. I want you to ask yourself, as we search this passage, which type of person are you? As we develop this text, we'll look at those with excuses, with problems, and those that are ministering servants. The first type of people are those that have excuses produced. Verses 18 through 20, which we've already read, these are those that have already RSVP'd and said, you know what? Can't be there. You know, I was probably 40 before I realized that RSVP means say no if you're not coming. I just thought that meant, hey, if you're coming, let me know. But they need to know, make sure that you got it. As you're getting married, as you're doing those things, you want to know who is going to show up. So these guys have already said, you know what? Can't be there. Can't come. We see then the first one says, I have purchased a piece of ground. This becomes my third class I've taught today, so you guys have to put up with my voice here. Verse 18, purchase a piece of ground. I must needs go. I am obligated to finish the contract, is what he was saying. This is the final walkthrough. I need to look at this, sign off on it, give him the money, shake his hand, and get this done. You know, sinners plead that they are under necessity to neglect God. They find excuses. They look for things to keep them from acknowledging God and having that relationship. Many Christians are distracted by the things of this world, things that keep them from fully engaging or accepting the invitation to be able to acceptably serve the Master. Some, they just simply pretend they're too busy and ignore the truth. The affairs of the world get in the way of even tending to their own souls. Someday, maybe, not right now. I'm too busy to stop life and deal with this eternity. You know, God cannot excuse men for neglecting a relationship with Him. Matthew 6:33, we all have memorized, or should. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Relationships, jobs, positions, houses, lands, chariots, cars. Not too many people drive chariots these days. But seek God first. Don't have an excuse of, I have this to do and that to do. The other one says, I go to prove them, in verse 19, to try them, to see if I made a good bargain. It's really a poor excuse for several reasons. A, he could have done that a different time. And B, he should have thought of that before he paid for it. Maybe the sticker's still on. Now the saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Those of you that do any farming or any equestrian stuff, a lot can be said about an animal's teeth. But if someone's given it to you, it's irrelevant because you can always make glue. But if you're paying for it, you might want to try it ahead of time. He was more concerned to please himself. I'm sorry, animal rights people, I just lost you. He was more concerned to please himself than to accept the invite. He was selfish, just like all sinners who try to gratify their own worldliness and sins. They refuse to accept the offers of the gospel. And to many, there are multiple offers that they say no, no, no. And many of you and myself had refused that offer multiple times before I accepted the offer of salvation. But how many of you are still refusing the offer of service? You're in a Bible college. Yes, we're preaching to the choir. But you're struggling with God's literal calling in your life. God, what do you want me to do? And the place to start is what you know God wants you to do. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and you and you and me. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, particularly as we see the day approaching, the end, which is rough in Corona days. Follow God's will. Walk in His steps. Try to please Him. And realize that Satan isn't going to call you into ministry to trick you. If your heart is right, you love God, you want to glorify Him and live a holy life, He will show you that next step, that next door that may or may not be opened at this point. Verse 20 says, I have proposed to a wife. Well, it doesn't say that, but the P went with the purchase and the prove. But we look at this and we see, wow, what an excuse here. You know, Christ teaches here that the love of earthly relatives and friends often takes place of our affections for God. You know, down in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's a whole other message as far as the idea of our misplaced affections prevent us from truly accepting the blessings that He would have bestowed upon us, or in this case, the invitation to a great, great feast. This was the lamest excuse of the three, but that really is typical of mankind, who are satisfied for such reasons to exclude themselves from the kingdom of God or His blessings. Not only are their excuses produced, but secondly, we see verse 21, those who have external problems. He sent His servants to where the people were, the streets and the lanes. Whether it's missions in a foreign country, across the seas, or in your home country, in most of our cases, the United States. Where do we find people? Where they are. We have ministries and outreach to try to reach people. A college campus, a secular college campus, is a great place to get inroads in any decent-sized city in the country. We have opportunity to reach. Most big cities have projects in places where there's a large amount of people in an urban place. You want to reach people for the world? Reach the big urban cities of the United States, where every nationality and tongue of the world resides. As we plant churches, as we work in ministries near those big places, big cities, and those people are saved and discipled and maybe trained English so that they then can go back to their country and reproduce themselves as believers to train others also. Back here, verse 21. Those with external problems, we run across those. First, he says, the poor. Those who are limited in their daily resources. A lot of people like that, especially nowadays. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed, how happy are the poor in spirit. Happy is he who must depend on God to sustain him for daily resources, but we all must rely on God. He is the source of sustenance that we find each day in our relationship to Him through His Word. As we, my foundations class will say, read, study, memorize, and meditate on God. You want the success of a Bible college? You want success of ministry? You want success of a believer, teenager to adult, or even young child, is be connected to the Word of God. Put Jesus in His truth in your life. And then we have this roadmap, recipe book, guide, manual for the Christian life. How that we are to live. And we are reconciled in our relationship to Him, history and philosophy class, you know, that we can then steward what God has given us back to the pre-fall garden. To take the resources, to store the resources in the people of God as now we're reconciled to Him. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Not only do they have the excuse of being poor, but the school, the excuse of being maimed. Those who are limited in their body members. Mark 9:43 says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." And moving quickly, we have the halt. Those who are limited in their activity, those that are handicapped for some reason. Here in Mark chapter 9 again, verse 45, "If thy foots offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell." Verse 47 there of Mark 9, we see the blind, those who are limited in their sight. "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out." Can you imagine? The steps or the length that we need to go to please God. "It is better for thee to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." John 9:25 says, "Lost but now found, blind but now seeing. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Back in Luke 14, we see in verse 22, "Yet there is room." What an incredible statement regarding the gospel. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. You thought I was going to sing, didn't you? Not only were there excuses produced and external problems, but thirdly, we see those who have become enlisted personnel. Verse 17 and then verse 21 through 23. They were commissioned by the master. Verse 17, they were sent. Steward ambassadors. Following what God wants them to do. Commissioned by the master. Commanded by the master. Let's examine two words here in verse 21. First one is go, not a choice. This is a command, not an option. Great Commission, Matthew 28. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." Kind of like Joshua 1:8. Observe to do what you have learned. Reproduce that in others. Not time to delay. Go out quickly. Be diligent to proclaim it. And the second word here in verse 21 is bring. Also a command. No excuses would be granted. No excuses would be accepted. Matthew 9:35-38 says, "Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they have fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Those that are enlisted are commissioned by the master. They're sent. They are commanded by the master to go and to bring. And then they are also compelling for the master. In verse 23, they are to compel them to come, which, by the way, is a command. utmost urgency, a passion to urge them to accept the gospel. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Plead earnestly. Use all means in your power to persuade the poor and needy sinner to come to Christ. All of us are put here, literally here, ABC and Beckley, in this world, gifted and equipped, experienced to reach a people that God has assigned you from the foundation of the world. Your sphere of influence. Some overlap, but there are souls in your bubble that will never hear the gospel if it does not come out of your lips. And more importantly, they won't see it lived if you don't rub shoulders with them and reflect your reconciled relationship to God as the Redeemer of the world to those people. Sometimes God puts opportunities upon us. Sometimes we have to create those, which is world missions. What does God want you to do? Who does God want you to compel to come and to accept Him? You know, we've looked at three types of people. Those with excuses, those with external problems, those enlisted to serve Christ by ministering. After examination of the Word, conviction of the Spirit, today, which type of person do you find yourself to be? Is it time to change that? Do you need to stop and take time today to renew your enlistment to serve Christ as an acceptable servant? Focus on Christ and His Word. Let's pray. Please stand with me. Father God, we thank You for the ministry of Your Word and Your Spirit upon our lives. Touch us, God. Lead us to be the people that You would have us to be pleasing to You, to be changed into Your image, to be a reflection of the image of God that is stamped upon our very DNA. Forgive us, Lord, for distractions. Forgive us, God, for not serving You earnestly in compelling those that are nearest to hell to accept You. God, I pray that You would use us, fill us, grow us. Be with our college this day and this week. Be with Dr. Anderson as he travels and preaches. Help us to live for You and to serve You with our whole lives as ministering servants to be acceptable unto You. In Jesus' name. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest.